friends. Let's unite in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, again we enter into thy presence today to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for the assurance which you have given us through thy word, the revelation which you have bestowed upon the prophets, upon the patriarchs, and the word given to thy apostles and from thy own lips and preserved by thy spirit, of the triumph of thy kingdom, of the triumph of righteousness over the powers of darkness and the forces of evil. And so as we survey the conditions through which we are passing in this very turbulent period of prophecy and history, and recognize that we are the children of thy kingdom and of thy household, we are encouraged by the assurances which thy faith bears witness to, that these things which have been promised from the beginning shall come to pass, and that righteousness shall triumph. Recognizing also that you have given unto us authority and power, and you have directed us to bind the forces of evil and to triumph as the instruments of thy hand, as thy spiritual center, thy church, and among the nations of thy kingdom, of thy household, that we are the instruments to accomplish these things, that you have given unto us the power to bind the darkness, you have given unto us the keys of the kingdom, and we pray that you will cause each one of us to recognize that it becomes a responsibility upon us, both as Christians, as members of the race which you've established in the earth as thy household, and of the great nations of thy kingdom and the great Western world civilization which thy faith has established. And so in this hour of conflict and crisis, teach us, our Father, the identity of our enemy and the source from whence comes the powers and the forces of evil that sweep the world. Grant unto us also the faith to declare it, and may we with testimony stand without fear or favor, even in the face of the conflict and the tyrannies that they would seek to propose in this hour. Now, our Father, as we survey these things, grant unto each one of us an understanding and cause us to realize that everything which has been known unto thee from the beginning and hath been declared and is coming to pass, shall also see the victory which you have ordained as thy children fulfill their destiny. So we pray for our nation. We pray that leadership shall be raised up that shall carry us forward with insight and vision and victory. We pray for the binding of all powers of darkness, for the cleansing of our land, for the deportation of every unassimilatable force, and for the eventual cleansing of our society. We pray for the mighty triumph of thy church and for thy faith which shall go from one end of the earth to the other, and for the victories which are ahead through the instruments which you have ordained. So we commit ourselves to thy hand, saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. We're turning tonight to discuss a subject that, while old and continued as a great and important factor because it's in the book of Revelation and it is a part of the things which Christ himself personally unveiled to John. Probably few subjects has been as garbled and few subjects have men been frightened to discuss than the true identity of Mystery Babylon. When we talk about Mystery Babylon the Great, there are some who seek to propose that this is a part of the Christian church or a denomination that claims to be Christian. But this is not so. For the true identity of Mystery Babylon is diametrically opposed to everything that is opposed to Christ and to Christianity. It is a substance of religious force which is arrayed against Christianity and which designs to rule the world and dominates almost every pagan and evil religion upon the face of the earth. Here in these United States, in a great nation of God's kingdom, which has been inspired from its beginning with Christian vision, and whose descending forefathers, as yours have been within this nation, have been those men of vision and faith that not only anticipated the great religious liberty of developing the tenets of their Christian faith without persecution in this new nation, recognized even early that the powers of darkness which were arrayed against them were non-Christian and were not a matter of the discussion of divisions between sects, but a design to preserve their society against forces that were intended to destroy it. We look into the background of record and discover that there's nothing new about the forces of Christianity having resistance directed against them, nor is there anything unchristian about you as an individual fighting the forces of darkness, being opposed to the powers of evil. We today in these United States have an unprecedented fifth column which has invaded our nation, which is absolutely unassimilatable and is non-Christian. And we challenge is behind almost all the subversive and degenerative forces that move in our society today. There are those who question the right of the Christian church to discuss this, but we tell you it's not only its right, but it's its bounden duty to declare and to discuss and denounce those forces of evil. If those forces of evil in our society do not like the discussion, do not like what goes on in Christian churches, it shouldn't disturb them too much because they don't go to Christian churches except as they come to spy. Now, we don't go invade their areas. I have never found any of my associates invading the synagogue, and we don't move in on their Muslim ex-temples, and we don't go in to their centers of idolatry in one end of the nation or the other. And fortunately, the great majority of people that constitute our society are Christian. They may be Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Catholic or any number of the churches. They may have more or may have less light. But I want you to know that it is not Christianity which is basically fighting one another. It is the power of darkness that is seeking to destroy you and gain a complete control over your way of life. Now, there is no reason for me to hold any brief to protect any branch of society that's diametrically opposed to the structure of God's kingdom as they were opposed to Christ in the midst of his own ministry. Let me pause for one moment to point out to you that in the course of Christ's ministry, Christ showed no favor whatsoever in discussing these powers of darkness. He virtually identified them, as in each one of the Gospels we find the powers of darkness identified. And Jesus, identifying these people, said, "You very, very clearly are a progeny of evil and are of your father, the devil." Now, there's some people who say we shouldn't talk that way about anybody, but if Jesus talked that way about anybody, I think we'd better repeat it. Amen. Now, he not only cited this concerning the fact they were their father, the devil, but he also knew the symbols by which they identified themselves. He knew this with the omniscience that belonged to him, and he knew that they were identified with empires and symbols also, which they carried from generation to generation. They were identified with the Luciferian house, which in its fall from its service before the Most High God to one of rebellion, when Lucifer became Satan or the devil throughout the universe by his battle against righteousness, his unassimilatable offspring, his evilly sowed seed in the earth, and fallen angelic hosts with him that upset the early world and cast it into catastrophe and strife, of which we have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years of strife and history. Long before and antedating the white race and the coming of the Adamic seed and all that relates to its history, which is the content of the large portion of the Scriptures. But we point out to you that Jesus identified these who were his enemies, and he identified them for their part. He said they had been the killers of the prophets and they had been the killers of the righteous, and he cited that they were responsible for the death of all these people who were righteous. He named the start of their attempt to destroy the peoples of your race, and he said they were the descendants of Cain and were responsible for the blood of Abel and every righteous man from Abel to Barachias who was killed between the horns of the altar. He therefore identified them as Canaanites, which were unassimilatable and evil seed that attempted to absorb your race from its beginning. He identifies them quite clearly and said, "You are the serpents, you are the generation of the vipers," and this is their identification. He said, "When I sent prophets and wise men and scribes, some you kill, some you crucify, and some of them you scourge in your synagogues." I think this helps to make the identification. Now Jesus said, "They you scourge in your synagogues, you persecute them from city to city, and I have brought upon you all the righteous blood that you have slain upon the earth." Now, in this declaration concerning this, Jesus was continually pointing out to the people the great conspiracy of evil that had even moved in, even to this province of the Roman Empire in Palestine, had gained ecclesiastical control and was seeking to dominate the land and setting up a warfare against the true Israel of God and carrying it out under the secret orders and the machinations of their evil serpent cult, which extended all over the world and which reached out to try to swallow up every vestige of God's kingdom. If you want a little idea about how the masters in Palestine of that cult thought about Jesus, then let me read to you these words in the 26th chapter of Matthew. And it says, "Therefore they assembled together these chief priests and these scribes, these elders of this force, and they gathered together in the palace of Caiaphas, and they consulted how they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him." In other words, this evil force and plot in Jesus' time were plotting on his death, plotting how they might capture him, how they might take him by cunning and subtlety, how they might kill him. Now, this has been their task and design. In fact, they had so dominated by their chicanery, the control of the temple, and by the false patterns of their evil elections, and by their pronouncing themselves to be associated with a faith in which they had nothing in common, that Christ identified this in that day and identified their ancient background in relationship to the patterns of evil of which they are a part. If you were to turn over to the book of Revelation, you'll find here some of the things which are pointed out to the mind of the Apostle John as in the planes of spirit. He has been taken into the heavens, and he's being shown the things that relate to history in past, present, and future. And he's shown the great mystery of the opposition of God's kingdom. The opposition of God's kingdom in one of its highest and most extensive organizations of evil in the earth was existent in the empire of mystery Babylon. It was existent in the days of from Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar, and during the time of Belshazzar had attained almost the unparalleled leadership of iniquity. At this time, it was extending under the power of Babylon a forced intrigue upon the nations of the world and was cooperated with by all the false religions from one end of the earth to the other.
Long, long since had this evil priesthood taken over the ancient teachings of ancient India. The knowledge that they once had concerning the knowledge of the true God and the tremendous wisdom that was once recorded by the Vedic forefathers who had moved into that land with their wisdom and their knowledge, and the Vedic writers and the Vedic teachers were actually men of your race that came down from the Hyterian Basin, descendants of Seth who, traveling through this land, had tried to roll back the superstition, had declared the truth of the eternal God, of the righteousness of his kingdom, of one God, and the fact that his purposes were eventually to establish righteousness in the earth and overthrow evil. The resulting war against the Vedic forces were created by the offsprings of Lucifer. More than this, these evil priests looked exactly the same, whether they were sowed among the race of Asia, whether they were found as the Canaanite descendants that have plagued your society, or whether they were found among the temples of Set and Thoth in ancient Egypt, where they set up their dark and occult practices. From the earliest times of the study of Assyrian mysteries, we discover that Luciferian service established high priesthoods of these mongrel offspring and strange unassimilatable peoples. They continually were to cloud all the things which they taught in a mystery which they said none could understand, but these illuminated wise masters which they set above man. Wherever they went, they were constantly promising that if people would give subservience to them, they would be guided by a way which would give them more abundance and greater security and would provide for all of their problems, only surrender to the authority of these wise and illuminated ones. And strangely enough, they set up the mystery schools of the upper phalanxes of religion, not only from the steppes of Tibet to the very hearts of India, across all of Asia, and dominated under Vudas, who fell in his rebellion with Lucifer, and whose offspring satanically guided the devil priests of darkest Africa, and still all in league came from a common origin. There is no doubt that one of the strange things that transpired in India, that moving away from the light and truth, which reached its probably greatest light during the great Aryan strength in which the land of India under Aryan leadership and Aryan emperors started to progress, and under the teachings that reverted again to one God and to his truth. But the overweighing power of the tremendous masses of the thousands and the millions that moved under the call of these dark priests gathered them again to the temples of Brahma, Vishnu, Siva, and Kali. Kali, the assassin goddess, the wife of Lucifer, the incarnate seat of all evil, who not only today holds sway over millions of revolutionists inside of India, but has always been diametrically opposed to the white man, his civilization, and his God. More than this, Kali is the assassin goddess, is marked as identified in their theology and with illuminated mystery theology all over the world as Isis, Ishtar, and as such has its relationship with Babylonian mysteries as well as the mysteries of ancient India. In this ancient land of Babylon, the powers of this unassimilable priesthood had set up their own priestcraft, their tremendous powers, their supreme bishops, their high pontiffs, their vestal virgins, which numbered the thousands. And in this entire highly organized system of evil-dominated religion with its superstitions, the height of immorality and temple prostitution was unprecedented in human history. More than this, their power was so great that they regulated the control of the Babylonian Empire, liquidating and removing anybody that stood in their way, whether they reached up even close to the side of the emperors themselves. Thus it was the most diabolical force in ancient Babylon was the satanic mystery school of illuminated masters. They were not illuminated with the light of God, but they shed out that darkness of evil that Jesus said, if thy light be darkness, then this be the unprecedented symbol of identity from whom they are, because this is the wall of darkness, and this is the enfolding darkness the scriptures refer to that seeks to surround men. And its propaganda becomes a poison to the mind and seeks to capture them completely. The scripture is filled with a discussion of the schools of darkness, the mysteries of mystery Babylon. And whereas the ancient patterns of false and satanic religion had swept over ancient Asia, dominated Africa, stretched out over the Assyrian empires, this was known now as mystery Babylon the Great, because in Babylon it had reached its greatest height. Long after the establishment of their controls in ancient India, they had sought to wage war against any emblem and significant sign of your race. Remember in the days when Nimrod progressed out of the steppes of Upper Persia and moved down onto the plain of Shinar and conquered Arak and Bel, that this descendant of Ham, who was a descendant who was the son of Noah, had with him also some Shemites. For remember, up to the time when Nimrod built Ur of the Chaldees, the great city of the Chaldees, that Nimrod the Shemite, the Hamite, had selected Terah the Shemite as his prime minister. Remember that Abraham came as the son of Terah and left the land of Ur of the Chaldees under the guidance of God because of the great pollution that came upon that city of Ur of the Chaldees. But prior to that, when he captured the great plain of Shinar, overthrew the temples of Erech and Bel or Babel in that early time, little was it realized that there was going to be a great capturing of this center and even of this man Nimrod, who would fall to the designs and the suggestions of this evil priesthood. A great number of people talk today about Nimrod as though Nimrod was the very center of all this evil philosophy and theology. He was a captivated mind like some of the presidents we've had in the last few years. He was dominated, he was controlled, they even talked him into believing he was God. I think that almost happened to FDR. Because before he got through, when they were having droughts in the country and they called on him to have a day of prayer for rain, he said, "I'll take care of that." There isn't any question that before we got through with the study and the research of the last 35 years concerning Babylon, we discovered it out of India, up out of the dark temples of Set and Thoth, which seek to preserve their identity in Egypt in that time, as well as the forces which had emerged out of the heart of Upper China and from the steppes and out of the ancient old sites that had existed near Beiping for thousands of years, from whence they traced the dark influence of those strange cults. The power is exactly the same. In fact, I happen to have not only ivory carvings that were specifically made in times of great antiquity of their priests. I have a great number of old etchings and some of the oldest scrolls that came out of China that were given to a friend of ours that donated to Beiping University before all of China fell to the Reds. So they were on display for a while out here in the Colosseum. I happen to have that at the museum near the Colosseum, Exhibition Park. We happen to have in those charts and records that are of great significance. For if you will look at these faces by the thousands of the priests which have descended generation after generation to control all of these pagan forces, they look like a hawkshop proprietor that you could find down here on Main Street. Now that's not a coincidence, my friends. Because whether you get them out of Sumer, whether you gather them from ancient China, where we happen to have the old manuscripts, some of which are older than the time of Christ. Now, here you have the pictures of the generations and the lines and the descendancies, and these started from that period and were added to generation after generation and were brought up to date as of 1736. And you can get a good look at who's been running the religions inside of Asia and inside of China. I have little ivory statues about so big of the deep priests of the inner circles of the mysteries of these Asiatic religions. And the strange thing is that there were even areas of Buddhism in which their dominant influence and their red company demonstrated to the masters of it were still members of the same force, because these high officials were known as the Illuminated Masters. In fact, it was in the 1700s that we had a little evidence of how well organized and coordinated these Illuminated Masters are. For strangely enough, they gathered in Europe, for Venice had been the headquarters of these people for some time. And remember that from the fall of Babylon, when Babylon was eventually conquered by the Medes and the Persians, the world headquarters of all the pagan religions on the face of the earth went down. Now they transferred their headquarters temporarily to the Isle of Pergamos. They earlier were to set themselves up inside of Venice. They were to move to various capitals in Europe. They established themselves in various centers where they thought they would be overlooked inside of Russia. But always they worked out from under the same general pattern of the masters. On May 1st in 1776, the Illuminated Masters, which came from Asia, they came from Africa, they came from nearby Middle Eastern countries, gathered together under the call of the Master of the Grand World Lodge of Illuminated Masters, also a Supreme Master of what was known as the Kahila, which was the particular Jewish branch of this institution. The man who gave the summon call and was credited later with being the founder of all of the mysterious forces of this Illuminated Master organization was actually not its creator. He was only at that time master of this lodge that reached back to the days when they invaded Pergamos and took it after the fall of Babylon. This man was Adam Weishaupt. And it was in 1776 that these Illuminated Masters gathered and formed their unique plan for their major assault now against Christian civilization. The last time they had been called was in Venice. And when they were called at that time, the masters, all of them that directed its control, brought from all over the earth, were under the leadership of the Grand Rabbi, at that time a world jewry. They selected, as you may remember, if you're a student of history, contemporary with the days of Genghis Khan, they separated a man named Shoype Noyant, who was a Chinese Jew and a member of the Illuminati, to become an advisor unto a man in the steps, that if they could gather him and use him, they were going to make an earth conqueror out of him, make a tool out of him, gather the hordes of Asia, direct them by superstition and by priestcraft into an invasion of Western Europe to crush Christian civilization and put it in their hands. If you'll read Genghis Khan's March of the Barbarians or his life of Genghis Khan, you'll discover that a Chinese Jew named Shui Pei Noyan, a man who was picked in Venice by the Illuminati, by an organization of international illuminated wise masters to rule the world, and this is the headquarters of all false religion, this is the temple of true Satan worship in the house of Lucifer. And this also, my friends, is the master organization that overrules all Jewry, and all Jewry and all of its synagogues and all of its organization in the world is tied to this same program. Now, if there's some Jew don't like it, you're in church. Go to the synagogue. Listen. We point out to you that this design had been a warfare that existed back in the days when they brought the hordes of Genghis Khan into Europe. They opened the doors of city after city. The speedy fall of a great number of these cities were not just the outflanking maneuvers and the speedy pinchers movement of the great Khan and all of his hordes, but it was the ability of these hordes to approach cities and have the doors open for them when they got there. And these merchants opened the doors. You'll find Harold Lamb tells this well, so do a great number of other historians. They tell well how the doors were opened, and the doors were thrown open by these merchants that gathered around the door, and find out who they were. They were Jewish merchants gathered out of Asia, out of India, from the corners of the earth for this purpose. And they opened the gates while men swept and threw open the doors. This happened at Samarkand. It happened at Baghdad. It happened, my friends, even at the gates of Vienna. That's one of the reasons why Martin Luther discovered what was happening inside of Germany. Said these people identified themselves and their identity with these hordes by wearing of a yellow armband. He said if Germany and the countries of Europe were smart, they'd make these people wear a yellow armband from this time forward and forever, so people would know who they were at all times. Because they had betrayed Christian civilization so completely. I point out to you that this significant pattern of darkness was behind the pattern of revolution. The Illuminati at that time established a clear relationship with the pagan forces that even had waged war in the days of Solomon and had sought to take over the Temple of Solomon and even the faith and the worship of Israel by penetration subtly, trying to come by way of Tyre, claiming their friendship with David, who had been the father, of course, of Saul. You remember that if you go back into this pattern, it was the design of these ancient mystery schools to come in and to capture the control of Israel as well as all the nations of that day, and then by their policies to take over their political life in the name of more wisdom and an illuminated, sophisticated society of supposed grandmasters of all knowledge by which they hoped that everybody would accept their authority and leadership, and they would use the power of their manipulation of money and their strange, intriguing government to accomplish these purposes. Now, the significant thing is that way back in the earliest formation of these institutions, on down into this period in 1700s here, 76, which was, of course, our historic date for our own independence, this evil power in Europe was planning now on its supreme attempt to wipe out, destroy, and suppress all Christianity. A Grand Lodge of the Orient suddenly became adapted as a part of Masonry. I want to tell you something tonight. There is no greater line of historical, spiritual, symbolized truth kept alive by the great fraternity of the established brotherhood of God's kingdom that was established by the master builders of true masonry that came down from the days of the pyramid through the whole history of your race, right on down through the days of the Temple of Solomon and clear down to the Essene Company in the days of Christ and the true Blue Lodge of Masonry inside of Britain. Don't misunderstand this. The Blue Lodge of Masonry, this Blue Lodge of Freemasons, was not this organization, the Grand Lodge of the Orient, which is a Jew-infested, satanic revolution against everything that's good and right. Now, a few people say, Dr. Swift, you shouldn't say that. I'm a Mason. Well, that's not. One of those circumstances that you may not be responsible for. That is what's happened inside of Masonry. But I want you to know that Adam Waspot, in 1776, planned on the penetration and the union of all the pagan lodges throughout the world and all the false systems of religion and an invasion of Masonry and to change Masonry into a diabolical revolution. Now, this has never affected truly the Blue Lodge. But it has affected a lot of orders that men thought were merely plain lodges set up, but in this Grand Lodge of the Orient, and I can read to you the exact declaration that was made at that time concerning its strategy. in which the leader of that Grand Lodge, and as late as 1922, the Grand Lodge of the Orient, a Jew, a member of the Illuminati, a member of the Illuminated Masters, and also calling himself the Grand Master Mason. This was the orator in the Grand Lodge, said, "My brother Masons, our hope is that now through this Freemasonry, which has done so much for the emancipation of man, and to which history owes national revolutions, all great revolutions, let us hope now that the greatest one, the international revolution, will be accomplished by us." This should waken up true people to know that this isn't the lodge of the true master builders of which George Washington was a part. This isn't the lodge, my friends, which was established in the days of Job as a master Masonos to which Paul belonged when he said, "I as a wise master building, nothing can be added to or taken away from the foundation which I lay in Christ." I want you to know that the design of the Illuminati, specifically in its war against Christianity, was the attempted and hoped for suppression of every branch of the Christian faith and of every secret order that existed that they could not penetrate and take over to formulate their revolution. Why did they talk about an international revolution back in 1776 and then try to make us think, or peoples of the world think, that all revolution was the same? Why did they in 1920 still talk about it? Why do they at this very moment plan to establish the temple of a supreme revolution and an antichrist religion in New York City and in as well as in Washington, D.C.? I point this out to you now. All the world pagan religions have been spawned and backed by the same evil forces, and Christ said that this would be a way you would identify them. In fact, back in the 17th chapter of Revelation, where John is given the vision of things that were to happen, and he said, "Woe, I want to show you who the great whore is that sits upon the many waters or racial streams, with whom all the rulers of earth have committed violations, and in which the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw this woman sitting upon the scarlet-covered beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and in scarlet color and decked with gold and with precious stones. It had the cup of golden cup of abomination, of all of her abominations and all her filthiness. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth." Now, Mystery Babylon is a mystery school of darkness and of oppression. It's a mystery school of evil and of immorality. It's a mystery school of a design to dominate the earth for Lucifer and to establish the supreme authority of Lucifer in Kali, Lilith, or Ashtar, Isis, or who you will. The last incarnation of this evil was Blavatsky. Don't forget that. The supreme design to try to take away all spiritual truth, obscure all Christianity in a pagan type of occultism that eventually surrenders your white race into the hands of Asia, into Asiatic swanies and Asiatic masters who from behind the scenes are controlled by those who would rule the world and eventually surrender all of you, if they could do this, into the binding of your minds with false philosophies and occult things. Someone said, "What is occult?" Well, the original word of occult meant hidden. There are mysteries and there are hidden things in your faith, but they are things of truth and of light and life. And the only reason why they're hidden, Christ said, "It's unto you, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Unto your adversary it's not given," because he didn't want your adversary to profess a knowledge of these things and then join you and destroy you by joining the church or becoming a citizen in your nations and suit to overthrow. God wanted you to maintain segregation and never accept the false conversion of one of Satan's children or permit him on this ground of false conversion to rise to power in your nation. I tell you today, no one causes more trouble inside of Christendom than supposed converted Jews that have joined the church and then used this merely as a political means to gain power and affluence. I quote also the book which is known as the Moranos. This book, Moranos, is published by the American Jewish Publication Society. Its author is the Jew Cecil Roth. It's not written for your consumption, it's written for theirs. And in this book, they tell how they have made converts by the thousands, joined the church to pervert its doctrines, contemn its doctrines, and then to destroy it from within. And how they had become nothing more than heretics on the outside, to infidels on the inside. But now they could no longer have anyone select them out and identify them as not being Christian, because having joined the institution, having submitted to baptisms, having gone through all the processes, and all the ordinances of the church, they now worked on the inside to destroy. That's one of the reasons why we have so much socialist and communist-minded preachers and professors, many of them the Methodist Church, who were Jews. For I covered the so-called Methodist Federation of Social Action for the Un-American Activities Committee, and when I covered that meeting with another clergyman, they were not knit enough at that time to identify the people that came and went, and they accepted even the credentials of those that never should have gotten in, as far as they were concerned. And at that meeting, I listened to a great number of these men, Jews, who had joined the Protestant ministry, gone through its seminaries, in order to wield their influence and to speak the doctrines of death and of socialism and Marxism from the pulpit. They had no faith in Jesus Christ. They openly admitted it. And the chief speaker to this bunch of left-wing pro-red preachers and even some of them party card members was none other than Alvera Overstreet, who with her brother, you know, Mature Mind Overstreet, Harry Overstreet, supposed to have produced the textbook against communism. And that's not a textbook against communism. That, my friends, while opposing communism in a mild way, at the same time knocks every phase of your own profit capitalistic system at the same time. Now, I'm just surprised at the number of dimwits that haven't been able to determine the difference between real anti-communist writing and when somebody who is doing a subversive job for the enemy writes a book to cover up their own identity so they can keep on moving in high circles. This is a battle for survival. This is the time when the Christian church must determine that the destiny of America must be determined by Christians, when they must start thinking Christian, voting Christian, buying Christian for the heaviest boycott against anti-Christian merchants in the history of our society. I think it's a rather interesting thing that in the designs of Adam Ostwat was the design for building a world organization of nations among Christian nations, so-called dedicated to peace, that would eventually disarm themselves and leave themselves at the direction of the supposed masterminds in the areas of international organization and activity, all of which were to be their illuminated masters. This is in his own texts. I think a rather significant thing today that in this Council of Foreign Relations which we have a great number of members of the Illuminati. I think you ought to know a little bit about what the Illuminati itself stands for, so I'm going to read this to you concerning the Illuminati. And this is the tenets of the six-pointed program of the Illuminati, which is made out of the six-pointed symbol of the snake woven into a six-pointed star with one of these major tenets at each point. I just want to shake you a little bit with this. This is a great Christian nation. The Supreme Court has ruled it so. The great balance of the majority of people in our society are Christian, and before World War II, we had a better balance than we have now, and out of 190 million people today, we still are 145 million white Christians. There's 45 million of everything else, including one of the most satanic invasions of all time, coming in as refugees, but actually a Trojan horse to destroy our society. In Washington, D.C., they're building a temple. This is going to be known as the Temple of UNism. It's a spiritual temple to all religions, and it's supposed to be the temple of universal understanding, and it is to overthrow and replace nationalisms and individual faiths. I've mentioned before this temple is concerning some of those that are its sponsors, and some of these sponsors are something to shake you down when you realize that some of these strange and peculiar gurus of strange religions have had some influence. Among one of the prominent leaders and supporters of the builders of this first $5 million edifice known as the Temple of Understanding in Washington is none other than Defense Robert S. McNamara. Leaders of the Socialist Party and Chester Bose, and then inside of it are a group of Swanis from New Delhi and from other parts of India. And of course, one of those that strangely might amaze some is none other than Thomas B. Watson, President of International Business Machine, IBM. Say, surely a man smart as this can't go for all this pagan philosophy of strange oriental religions. I don't know. I'll never forget that one of the most insulting things ever done by any concern of American business was conducted right here in California at San Jose by IBM. That was the day when the bloody dictator, with the blood of thousands upon his hands and still dripping with the blood of those he had massacred after promising amnesty to them inside of Hungary, came as a guest of the President of the United States to the United States, and then rode down Pennsylvania Avenue and spoke in the United Nations and traveled to California as a guest of your president. When Premier Khrushchev came to America and the host was President Eisenhower, this president was disgracing America and its rich tradition. When he came to California, we'll still remember that if there's nothing else you can remember to praise Mayor Polson for, is that he had courage enough to stand up at that dinner they were giving for the Antichrist, which was enough to make anybody sick, and say, I just got one thing to say to you. You've been telling the world you're going to bury us, but you're not going to do that, Mr. Khrushchev. In fact, he intimated rather clearly, if there's any burying going to do, we're going to do the burying. You say, that's not biblical, that's not Christian, but really it is. It tells me over in the 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel, we're going to be 7 months burying these hordes out of Asia when they come. Going to take all the bulldozers and earth movers we got. Keep them busy burying these people. Listen, we point out to you that When this man went to Santa Barbara, they rolled out the red carpet and everybody threw their arms around this bloody dictator and ignored even the circle of defense around him. You remember that when he got to San Jose, that the IBM company, remember this now, I wouldn't buy an IBM machine if it was the last piece of machinery on the face of the earth. And I'm going to tell you why. Any concern that would hang out across their plant the words, "Welcome Khrushchev, Prince of Peace." I have a photograph of that. IBM plant. I would no more work for this organization of Antichrist. For whether you know it or not, irrespective of how many people may be in this thing that are patriots, there's a power of evil in this that would put up a sign like that. That sign belongs only for Jesus Christ and no one else. When you put up that sign for the Antichrist, it shows you that there are some branches of international business that would sell their country, their faith, or their God if it meant a dollar for them. Isn't it a strange thing? And one of the sponsors of this evil pagan temple in Washington, D.C., is then the president of International Business Machine Company, IBM. All right. This temple is to be called the Spiritual UN Temple, the symbol of all brotherhood and all sisterhood of mankind. It's supposed to be divided into six tiers. It's supposed to have, of course, six individual points. It's supposed to have also six symbols of divine authority, and it has also six measures of its enforcement. You know, you get sixes three times here. Isn't it rather strange? Isn't it? 666 seems to belong to this temple, which the scripture tells me is the number of the beast. Behind it and supporting it is an unparalleled number of Jews. I have a list of them all here. There's some people that shouldn't be in it, but there's a lot of Jews here, including Jack Benny and a lot of others that are a part of it. And behind it is a long and highly organized group of internationalists that have been taken over, used, and are still being used hypnotically under the spell of evil. Now, I want to point out to you the tenets. This is called the great temple of universal understanding, which is to have its large room known as the meditation room, the hall of illumination. Here, the Illuminati, masters of wisdom, and leaders of the temple of understanding are going to train the public in the new humanistic development of religion for all the world in the UN. Listen to this. The Illuminati, the illuminated masters, are going to train the world and all of its public in this new religion. It's going to replace all the major six faiths, they say, because, and in this, they put on Christianity at the same level in this country with the six important steps, they say, of the new religion, which, of course, as they develop it here, is to be Hinduism, Judaism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Christianity, and Islam. Now, let me point out the six bodies. This is why I tell you that Christian point doesn't mean a thing. This Christian point is a point for the philosophy of a teacher named Jesus, but not for incarnate God who told his kingdom that they would occupy the earth. They only want those points of the philosophy that surrender the kingdom into the hands of the enemy. And so one of the most important facets of this, and we have material concerning this, is the teachings of Christ as interpreted by the illuminated masters. Who says, resist no man, turn the other cheek. And all of these things, the only thing they can see is the disarmament pacifist program. Now, I want to say this. Jesus Christ never taught you to turn the other cheek to the Soviet Union. He never taught you to love all these pagans that hate your God. He never told you, my friends, that you were not to resist. You say, why? What about the Sermon on the Mount? The Sermon on the Mount is the rule of the kingdom for Christians, brothers and sisters of the same race and of the same household inside their own nation, their enemies of their own household, those that would despitefully use them and have spiritual responsibility and can be shamed and moved on by the Spirit of God. You can't take the laws of the kingdom and try to work with the Antichrist on them or you'll cut your throat all the time. Jesus never instructed that. But inside of this, they're trying to even take Christianity down to just a sort of a moralization of how to surrender your independence, don't resist, don't fight, be a pacifist, and so forth. Now, these are the six points of the illuminated masters. I think this should open the eyes of everybody. I'm going to read them to you as they relate to the temple and to its strategy. Number one, it is hatred of the true God, and especially of his son, Christ Jesus. Now, they don't call it the true God. They call it the hatred of the one God complex, especially as manifested by Christians and the acceptance of a one Messiah, Jesus Christ. How can you have a branch of Christianity when you're hating Jesus? Number two, it calls for the destruction of all private property and all right of inheritance. Sounds like Karl Marx, doesn't it? Well, the same people generated the same program, planned the same thing. Number three, absolute social and racial equality for all save the masters of illumination that shall guide the masses. Everybody's equal but the top Jews. Be interesting to see whether they're bulletproof. I knew there was somebody waiting to take that down. They never wrote one word until I said that. Never wrote one word. Destruction of all forms of government and the creation of a dictatorship of the Illuminati for the world. That's a perpetuation, probably, of this Council of Foreign Affairs and Foreign Relations under the leadership of their own select group. I don't know whether Mr. Kennedy's been working real hard on how and trying to develop this in the cabinet, but remember that there are 77 Jews out of that 126 appointees. A great number of them belong to this very group of institutions that we're talking about. Number five, the end of all nationalisms and all individual national patriotisms, the acceptance of the sovereign emblem of the world government. You like that? Our forefathers signed a Declaration of Independence. I'm ready to sign it again. Now these people live in immoral rottenness, as was manifested from their evil temples inside of Babylon, as is manifested by the corrupt immorality of India. And don't forget that it lives in its prostitution of its temples until it's increased its population beyond its ability to support them, but beyond even the mentality that they degenerated to accomplish this fact. I can listen to a report from our ambassador to India, like Mr. Galbraith, who talks about the great progress that's being made there. You know what that progress is? That's American money, doing all the work, hiring all the labor, and then giving them the profits. That's progress for them. The abolition of marriage and family life. The practice of free love with all children to be raised and trained by the state. That's a great religion to set up in Washington, D.C., isn't it? The Negroes have tried that already in Washington. That's why they've increased so many of them. That's why they got so many on dole there. They didn't think this out by themselves. They didn't think. But they've been sold this kind of propaganda among their own evil forces, among those that have dominated them. Today, all you've got to talk to is a congressman responsible for the District of Columbia to find out one of their greatest financial, social, and economic problems in the District of Columbia is the supporting of illegitimate children by the hundreds, and they don't know who their fathers are, and it's not seemingly important since they just keep breeding them so that they might take on the protection and dole that they get. Yes, the program of the powers of darkness is the abolition of all spiritual righteousness. It's the abolition of marriage, the family life. The practice now is to be added to this, a free love, children to be raised and trained by the state. I don't see whether it's one bit ahead of what the Soviet Union is doing now. We point out that under this design and this strategy, this is the development of the new world religion. Remember, the new world religion has no morality. The new world religion is just one massive orgy of evil, and it starts out with surrendering your faith and buying a little Hinduism and a little Buddhism. Sticking up a little Buddha in your house and a little symbol of Brahma, Vishnu, Siva, and Kali, and just to show you're well-rounded out, you might get a witch doll from some voodoo doctor to show that you're not partial. Oh yes, you can have a little statue of Christ over there if you just remember that he's just one of the boys. All right. I point out to you this. Since this is also a complete report on the report Edith Kermit Roosevelt made, both in the journal and all of her press releases across the country concerning its design, that under this program of this universal temple of development and understanding, in which the whole public is to be given information, that this new group will be given all assistance to spread their doctrine in every school of upper learning, and they will be able to present their brotherhood programs to young people in all schools at all levels, because not being partial to any faith, they will not be interfered with by any government level of any institution who is a member nation of the United Nations. Now, right now in your country, you have a new department created. This department is the new Department of Religious Affairs, with its Director of Religious Affairs, Mr. Fred Kern. This organization has power to suppress Christian churches. It has power to have control over what they teach and how they think. It has thought control. It has power to stop even the operations of a minister in performing the functions of his ministry when they so determine it and back it up with military force. We found out in your own city that a great number of the editors who didn't know anything about this till it was brought to their attention by us and through the medium of tape and through contact and said they'd publish this, and then these fellows haven't had the courage to publish it when they found it out after verifying it from Washington because they were afraid of the retaliation. You know, if you were to lose America, it would be because too many people were too cowardly to stand up for what's right. But they're not going to lose America because there's more people in these United States that will stand up and save it for the people that don't deserve it. I turn tonight to the realization that in the carrying out now and the rebringing to light of a full operation of the Illuminati and the declaration of their design, we are watching now this fulfillment of the thing which God hath declared. They are supporting the beast system, which Christ said is an attempt at world government to put all nations together under one super governmental control, in which they all enter this thinking they're going to get something and find out they are not. You note that the false Babylonian system, mystery religions of darkness, is anti-Christian. It's diametrically opposed to the identity of Christ as the Messiah and to the identity of everything that relates to your faith from the days of Adam to your time. Now it supports the political system which the Scripture calls the beast. In supporting this beast system, you will read here exactly how far it goes. It not only seeks to put it in power, but it has been manipulating its evil influence through seven empires or seven mountains, which are seven kingdoms on which this evil power has had its influence. From the days of Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and out of the catastrophe of the satanic influence will rise an eighth. And the Scripture tells you about that. And of course, we are told that out of this last rising resistance and conspiracy, which was the attempt to conquer us with the Asiatic hordes of Genghis Khan, was to rise again on the power of this evil system to give life unto the beast, a political system of challenge to try to take the world over again. And so from the death of the hordes of Genghis Khan and from the breaking of their power to now the re-rise of the hordes out of Asia, from the steppes of the Russians, from the hordes of China, and from the Mongolian mountains, and of course the gathering of all of the minority groups, non-white, non-Christian, that they can roll into this picture. So the book of Revelation says concerning this, that in these latter days there will be as many as 10 kingdoms which give their power unto its political strength. They'll have one mind. They'll give their power and strength unto this political program of world government. They will seek to make their war with Christ. They will seek to overcome those that are identified with him. But he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and all that are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. It's time you found out that the Christians are the chosen people. He goes a little farther and said, the waters are the great numbers of peoples, the multitudes of the peoples and nations and tongues over which this beast system gains control and over which this false system of religion has its influence. But in the explosion of our time, God is going to bring great judgment upon this evil of its false religion and its false religious system. In fact, we are told that its economic influence as well as its religious influence sweeping out over the earth will eventually be thrown down. And I'm going to tell you that the Scripture says something here for you to remember. It says, thus with violence is this great evil mystery city of Babylon thrown down. Oh, you say, well, that was talking about the day when it went down before the Medes and Persians. No, it wasn't. This was told to John in the book of Revelation when long after his discipleship, he was on the Isle of Patmos, and this was unveiled to him in the mystery of the Revelation vision. So you see, Babylon had fallen years and years before this, had nothing to do with the ancient city of Babylon. It was talking about the continuity of its evil force. And when Jesus wanted to identify them, and he gave John his message unto the churches, he said, I know about the troubles of the people that are Christian that have to live on the Isle of Pergamos. That's where Satan's seat is. Now this proves indelibly that the world institutions of organized Jewry, who had their headquarters inside of Pergamos, from which Herod came, the Herodian that was king of the Jews that tried to kill Christ at his birth. And in the days of Christendom, Jesus identified this place of the Illuminati who moved from there to Venice and who spread out over the world as Satan's own seat. No wonder he calls them the synagogue of Satan. No wonder he identifies Mystery Babylon as the mother of all false religions. I turn inside the 19th chapter of Revelation and I read here again, know this, that financing this and in league with all this false religious system, what a great number of thy international merchants. These were so-called great men of the earth who deceived all nations by their sorceries. And in her is found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that have been slain upon the earth. I turn again to the words of Jesus back here in Matthew, which after his identity had brought about the design again to destroy and kill him and murder him. Jesus said over here in Matthew upon you, identifying again this generation of the serpents, these people who were the Yehudim, the Sheni of his day. He turned to them, and he said, upon you comes therefore the blood of all the righteous slain that have been slain upon the earth. Jesus identifies in Matthew, as he identifies in John, the enemy of your Christian society. You know, we have stepped up a clearer channel of identification since the enemies in our nation have determined that the Christian church can't do this. It wasn't so many weeks ago they came out to cite that your pulpit and this Christian church and those associated with you castigate the Jews and castigate the Negroes. But the Jew that was in here made a mistake because he said we were advocating a white autocracy. Now that proves that he didn't take down his shorthand correctly because we said white aristocracy. God save us when we lose that. Then to prove that the Jews supplied the Communist Party, which they are the creators, with its information, as well as the Los Angeles Times, they both misquoted and both wrote down the same error as the man made who took the notes in here. Then the same thing happened when Muslim X says Negro columns now have been given a justification by the Jews and the commies for all their assault against the police department. All they're trying to do is to fight those that are telling the truth about their religions and their origin. And so they came out and they had the same error in that paper. So we can make one statement here, it can be misquoted here, and all three of the left-wing communist, Negro, and Jewish papers come out to repeat it, including the Times. Someone says, the Times carries your ad. They surely do. The Times carries the ad, and they have Paul Coates in there, too. We point out something else. I think that one of the smallest, cheapest, and evilest of all illustrations was in the editorial page of the Times this morning. They tried to show a man so big that he was out of the picture except for just the bottom of his striped trousers and of his Supreme Court robes. And this man that was higher than our mountains that they had here, they had written on the bottom of this pair of legs that was disappearing into the top of the newspaper page, they had the Chief Justice water. Show us what kind of a vision they got. They can take a man as little as that and make him the biggest thing they ever saw. They're pretty small. Then they had two of America's brilliant men who love America, whose stature are so much greater than the man they challenge. But they showed their heart. They had these two men. They had Senator Eastland and Robert Welch. They had them about the size of a little tiny pygmy. And they had a sword in one hand, and they had a helmet on, and they had on a shield, and they had on all the accoutrements of a warrior. And Robert Welch was saying to Senator Eastland, let's gang up on taking. There's more of us. They had these little tiny fellows. Let me tell you something. Senator Eastland stands in towering strength as a great statesman, as a brilliant American, so great and so high that you couldn't find Warren in the picture in which you were able to photograph him. As far as Robert Welch is concerned, I may not agree with all his positions, or maybe all his strategy, because I think he should go farther to the right and tell it all. But I'm going to say that I am willing at any time to tip my hat to any man that can start as much right-wing activity as this man did, which has done nothing but good for America. You know, after looking at that picture, I couldn't think of one good thing that Warren ever did. Someone said he defeated Robert Kenney, the attorney general that was the red representative of the Hollywood Reds for governor. He didn't do that. We did that, not knowing what he was. It was you and all the rest of the patriots that whipped Kenny, not Mr. Warren. There are some people, if they're ever elected, it'll be because, my friends, the people were opposed to their enemies. But I'm going to tell you this. This strange power to set up false religion in Washington, D.C., actually intends to eventually use the power of government to force everybody to accept this pagan religion. Did you ever hear anyone ask the question what the mark of the beast is? This, my friends, is giving assent in your mind and putting your hand to do the work of the forces of Antichrist. They may do that all over the world, but they're not going to do it in these United States. Amen. Someone said why. I'm going to tell you why. There is a difference between freedom of religion and an institution of the devil being called religion. There is a difference between freedom of speech and freedom to worship and dictatorially controlled directives from a world government power who calls itself a religion and attacks every fundamental principle of the Christian faith. I'm going to tell you this. They're counting on something that they are underestimating. There's still 145 million white Christians in these United States. Yes?
mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of all false religion. Jesus unveils this to John. He identifies its heart and its soul. I pass on to you tonight that organized Jewry is the heart and soul of false religion. It is the mother of mystery Babylon. It is sought by the extension of its Babylonian Illuminati to rule the world. It's still at work. It's reorganizing its activities to try to headquarters them in Washington, D.C. at the very present time. I tell you, it's time that Christians organize from one end of America to the other. I think it's time that the Christian church forgot any divisions it might have in its theology to win this great battle of determining that Christianity is not going to be swept out of America, diluted, or destroyed. This is everybody's battle. I mentioned last Friday night, and I mention again, that this is the danger of mystery Babylon that tries to crawl inside of the Christian church to interpret its doctrines. One great church over in Santa Ana this week had an unusual awakening. The pastor was introducing a speaker. The speaker was going to come in a few days, and one of his laymen went to the pastor. He belonged to the terrible extreme right, the layman did. He said, "What do you know about this speaker that's coming to speak?" Oh, the pastor said, "I'll personally vouch for him. He's a man of excellent character. I've been acquainted with him. I know this man's abilities and his great understanding." This didn't satisfy the right winger. He didn't like the cut of the fellow's jib. So he went out and did a little checking. And careful investigation brought out that the speaker was a Communist Party member. Then a little careful checking on where the pastor knew him brought out that the pastor was a Communist Party member. So now they had a private meeting this week in the church, and the congregation has decided that they're not going to support the preacher, and they're calling for another one, and the church is walking out. I don't know whether the Santa Ana papers will have the courage to print this story, but if so, it's going to break this week. And they're going to demand that their communist preacher be moved along. Because one right-winger was asleep. No, because he was awake and found out what it was all about. And pretty soon there were a whole congregation of people that were incensed when they became aware of what was about to happen. This is what I mean when I say that they would even move inside the church, as they have attempted to do. But they're not satisfied with the speed of this maneuver. They want to involve all religion in an open embracing of this program. I think that nothing was more disgusting than to hear the National Council of Churches as a world council of church organization supporting that an interlinking brotherhood and greater fellowship should take place between all religious leaders that all over the world are trying to do good anyhow, whether they're Hindu or Buddhist or who they are, and thus we should have a show of interreligious respect for all religions everywhere. How can you preach the gospel of this book with that doctrine? I think it's time that Christians everywhere repudiated the World Council of Churches as not speaking for true Christians anywhere in the United States. There are many things that we'll not try to take the time to bring out to you tonight. But I want you to know that this strange influence of Mystery Babylon is always linked with a design to try to make everybody feel superior by telling them we're taking you into the mysteries that only you highly intellectual ones can understand. That's the bait they're putting out in Washington now. And so each one that's brought in to the first step of the cult is being brought in as one of the little bit superior people that will be picked out for the superior job. And you know, more people fall for that, never knowing that these grand masters of this Illuminati have never designed to do anything but to captivate them in their government positions, but never to share with them the administration. So they move in. Let me tell you, nobody from India can come over and teach you anything, my friends. Oh, you say, what, they have an old religion. They may have an old religion, but it couldn't do anything for the peoples of India. It couldn't clean them up. It couldn't give them enough food. It couldn't give them creative ability. It couldn't give them vision. It couldn't teach them how to occupy in the midst of the earth. So therefore, their gods are dead and blind and evil and can do nothing for their people. Someone said, oh, but the beauties of Buddhism, what tremendous and beautiful thoughts. Consider the lotus flower. Well, you consider the lotus flower. Solomon considered the lilies of the field. I just want to tell you something. Those lotus flowers haven't done anything for Asia. They haven't kept it from going communist. When the communist revolution swept through Asia, the Buddhist priests told the peoples that this is the will of Buddha. This is the will of the Gautamas. This is what you must do. And they broke down the resistance to communism by calling on their surrender to it. And the masses of Buddhists moved into it. The only place where they came to any resistance is where they got up in Tibet. And there in Tibet, the living Buddha decided that it was a kind of a challenge to his power, and he resisted because he didn't want to lose control of his throne. But the general Buddhistic program of all China sold out and even supplied the armies that marched against Tibet. I point out to you now this, that even in Rome,
a power, moves out of Switzerland. This man, my friends, is a part of the Illuminati. He's a dark and evil force. He's known as the Black Pope. I tell you this tonight because he is a sinister force that seeks to subordinate the entire Holy See to the will of organized world Illuminati control. He is given the credited power with the ability to assassinate at any time any papal ruler or leader that will not follow the advice which they give. This is a known factor among whole groups of Catholic clergy, and there is a dreaded opposition upon the part of Catholicism against the Black Pope. I only mention this not in any attack upon any church that's in such a bad spot, because we don't have any black popes inside of Protestantism, but we have had some of our unusual forces which are equally as dangerous. After all, we had Bromley Oxnams in the Methodist Church and a number of other bishops I can think of that I think belong in a similar category as far as their danger to the Protestant movement is concerned. After all, there's a Bishop Pike still in the Episcopal Church in San Francisco, and there's still Dean Inge over in England. And this is only a small part of it. When you can gain these masters of mystery religion and their influence can move into Union Theological Seminary and dictate books and prepare whole standards of instruction inside a Protestant and a generally conceded free Protestant institution, I tell you it's time that the Christian church woke up. I think it's time that we determined in the staffs of Christian theological seminaries that none but Christian scholars shall teach its students. I don't think you've got to get a Jew to interpret Hebrew or to interpret Greek. I don't think you have to go over to your enemy to get someone to interpret for you the doctrines of the Scripture, which he's going to hodgepodge as much as possible to obscure the truth of your identity to sell his own lying story. When 2 weeks ago, organized Jewry in this community launched a campaign over television and then the radio and press against you. They wanted you investigated as a church and this pulpit for its preaching. Well, I don't know what grounds you investigate somebody for preaching the gospel on. No crime has been committed. There's no felony to which the grand jury has suspicion. There is nothing that is violating the law. It's thus saith the Lord. Now, in these United States, the Constitution declares that Congress can't make a law abridging religion. And they can't make any law concerning the establishment of the same. You are not something riding under false colors. You are a true Christian church. In fact, your own Christian church foundations go back over 15 years right in this very city. And a great number of the other congregations go back farther than that. One congregation that we are personally pastoring on Sunday morning has been in existence for 25 years. So, my friends, it has been and is known and has been in a Christian church in all that period of time. And has this ministry been a Christian ministry during that period of time? So we're not a bit disturbed about the threats of organized Jewry, but we know that the most powerful, sinister, character assassination organization in America is the Anti-Defamation League of the Nye Brit, which carries down in a mysterious order their particular branch of this ancient penetration, the Illuminati of the so-called Oriental Lodges of Masonry, only now under the order of the Nye Brit. In fact, some of these lodges in Europe will interchange with Nye Brit lodges in their order. Now, if you're a Blue Lodge Mason, don't go out of here tonight feeling we're talking about you, because we're not. But every white man better be sure that he has traveled the right route. He's a part of this institution. I'm going to tell you the day's going to come when there's not going to be a Jew in Masonry here or anywhere in the world. The day's going to come when there's not going to be any of them in the United States either, because the Bible says so in the book of Zechariah. Is the world religion going to sweep the Western powers? That question is one that is worrying a number of people. No, because the speed with which the political beast moves is going to upset a great amount of the strategy. It will be sermons like this one that will be replayed to over 1 million people in these United States that's going to kindle so many fires and going to start so much reaction that it's not going to be safe to push forward evil to the attempt to suppress Christianity in these United States. We tell you it's only the declaration of truth that will make you free. And it's important that you understand this. Sadistic cults that move in a strange manner, filled with strange and perverted and effeminate peoples, have been founded in connection with these mysteries of darkness in Washington, and they have sought to entrap as many foreign service representatives and high officials and departments as possible. Sadistic cults in which they beat one another with whips in order to find the highest spiritual attainment of anesthesia of pain. And they're being told by illuminated masters that this brings to them a share of the atoning factors for human error. Try to even sell Christians on this. Let me tell you something. You know you don't have anything to atone for except your political mistakes. You say, what do you mean? There's nothing for you to atone for. Christ paid for it all. He took in one moment, by his own assumption of this, as God alone could do, all the errors, transgressions, and mistakes of your society, and said, there isn't anything you have to do about this, but just accept what I've done. These sadists are just a substitution of a strange pattern of sadism that moves into your society. People that are sadists will be also the most cruel tyrants that you've ever had to deal with when they come into power. I don't have the time tonight to discuss the dangers of the strange beast influence connected with this, which has influenced your Council of Foreign Relations, which was a non-government institution that finally has become a quasi-government institution woven into committees and to branches of your government inside the United Nations and World Organization to which you still ascribe as a society and a nation. So these things being true, we tell you that Mystery Babylon the Great is exactly what John the Revelator saw as Jesus unveiled it to him, and it's so skillfully a plot that a lot of people can't see what's going on because they don't expect that the people carrying this out are walking around in business suits. They don't consider them on the cabinet of the president or presidents of universities. They're still thinking of characters running around dressed up like the Assyrians and the Romans were 2,000 or 2,500 years ago. And they're not that way anymore because they're not selling those kind of suits. But their hearts haven't changed. Jesus said, you're going to measure up to the full measure of your fathers. Just remember this. You say, doesn't it important who I am, where I came from? Yes, it is important who you are and where you came from. Because you're going to make the full measure of your fathers. And therefore, it is important that we understand this great law of spiritual seed. You couldn't fool Christ, who was the omniscient wisdom, the all-wise God, in his analysis of the individual behavior of the peoples that were before him. I want you to know tonight this, that these powers of darkness talk a lot. They're going to hold a big convention right here in your city next month. Did you know that? Did you know that all these forces that are waging war, that don't want any criticism, that want an aura of super righteousness put around them while they wage war against your nation and against your race, are going to have one of their supreme conventions right here in Los Angeles? One of the things they're going to discuss, all the hate groups in America that are disturbing and creating ill will against their strategies and their designs. Someone says, what's this all about? Well, I'm going to tell you something. They're frustrated. You say, how can they be frustrated when all these things are going on? Because they don't know how to stop the waking up of white people. They don't know how to stop the preaching of the gospel, and they don't know how to suppress it. They don't know how to turn it off. They used to pull the key on a radio station. They used to blackmail its operators. They used to threaten businesses with the loss of supplies, raw materials, or purchasing power would be deployed away from them through unions and through other groups. But they don't know how to stop the spreading of this message that reaches people all over the nation because they don't know how to turn it off. They can't pull a master switch because we've got too many switches that will relay the truth. So we tell you this tonight. That Satan is at the same business he was at in the days of Christ. That's why it tells you here they'd like to deliver you through their synagogues into the hands of the magistrates. But we're going to deliver them into the hands of the magistrates, and they and their synagogues can go to Israel, or they can go over to Biro Bijam, or they can go anywhere else they want to in the world. But I'm going to tell you the destroyers of America are going to discover that it's not the best place to remain inside of these United States as America wakes up. Mystery Babylon is in America. Mystery Babylon is in Europe. Mystery Babylon's in Asia, it's in Africa. But it doesn't belong to you and your civilization. We'll be speaking tomorrow night in San Francisco, Native Sons Auditorium. Tuesday night in Key System Building, its auditorium, 11th and Harrison over in Oakland. Wednesday night will be in the YWCA in San Jose. In fact, Thursday night we'll be in San Diego, and Friday night back here talking about world events and their relationship to biblical prophecy. Do not forget this as we take on a forum of world situations and events, as we review the opinions and the developments of things that are happening all over the world next Friday night, as we do every Friday night. This is a significant thing of great importance. We're talking next Sunday afternoon on the high marks of Israel. These marks of Israel are very important. We're not talking about the Jews. If somebody wants to come back to get some information about the Jews, you'll not find them when we're talking about Israel. We're talking about the marks of Israel. These are your marks of identity that we're discussing next Sunday afternoon.
Do not forget that this is a very important link in this strategy. We're going to talk to you next Sunday evening about an area of prophecy and of event that is a challenging one because it comes very close to you. That is, will Armageddon come from the east or the west, or from the north or the south? From whence will come Armageddon against you? So we're going to talk about this subject. From whence cometh Armageddon? We urge you tonight with your tithes and offerings to remember that we're approaching closely this week the 13,000 mark of the tapes that are playing all over the United States, in Europe, Africa, and also in the areas even farther removed to Australia, and moving now into new areas that we've never reached before. Each passing week is finding more and more outposts of listening. We have 38 outposts in England, the British Isles. It's being played in Germany, it's being played in Scandinavia, it's being played in South Africa, and also in Central Africa where white men live. We urge you tonight with your tithes and offerings to help us reach people, expand and send out more and more tape, and we want you to know that it is only as you reach people with truth and stir them that you can help to save your nation. There is no source of reaching people with truth more effective than the tape ministry, these spoken lectures in their churches, in their homes, in their auditoriums, in their patriotic societies, and they are playing, and they are going night and day, even as they're being made night and day. Do not forget that we have a lot of problems before us, and they can only be solved by your alert attention. We'll have more to say about that, and do not forget the radio broadcast, 1090 on your dial, 950 every day, the voice of truth, XCRB, 1090 on your dial. After we take this offering, while we're taking it, we have some more things we want to call to your attention, we want to urge you to do. Our gracious Heavenly Father, book thy blessing to rest upon this congregation, bless this offering, multiply it to the purpose, carrying forward the gospel of thy kingdom and the reaching of people with the truths of thy word. Pray that you will supply the need of this people, in thy name we ask it. Amen. Announcement we'd like to make as just a citizen to you. A great number of people think the battle's over and the battle has just begun as far as the battle for the governor of the state of California is concerned. If you think it's all decided, it's not decided because people are waking up and finding more and more about their candidates and what's going on than you have any idea. And this is not the time to say, well, it's time to rest now. The last few weeks and the last week may be the most important area of reaching people with truth and letting them know about the candidacy of a Christian who takes his stand for governor of California. We want you to know that we believe that the election of Colonel Gale as governor of California would be one of the greatest triumphs of Christianity in this state. Oh, we reach points where there's a lull in the support to the campaign and to the campaign funds, and that means the candidates have to carry it by themselves. And these are the periods when they need your help and they need your assistance, just as our TAKE programs need assistance and the programs for righteousness. We tell you that never was it more important than you circulate literature, that you help to distribute, that you awaken people concerning the real issues that are in this campaign. More than that, we call this to your attention. Someone says, church can't do this. I'm doing this as an individual, as a private citizen. I'm talking to you right now. Now listen, it's very important that we recognize that our enemies are signaling out everybody that knows all about them. And if ever there was a time to tell it, to not lose hope or faith,
but to remember that miracles can happen. God knows what he's doing. He's winning a victory all the time in this matter. Just remember that. If just the people that have been reached with truth through Colonel Gale's candidacy has been one of the great important victories, there's big victories ahead and bigger victories. But don't be surprised. Anything can happen. In fact, you don't know what might happen. God could do all kinds of things in the behalf of your cause. I'm going to say this. I received a letter from Senator Jack Tenney in his campaign, and Senator Tenney's down the 38th district running for Congress. You say, that's not my district. No, but it's your fight. The Hindu that was the Democratic candidate, so they didn't have anybody else in the picture, God struck him down with a coma a few weeks ago. He's not only in a coma, but he's not going to be able to do much winning of any victory or battle. In fact, there's never been a better chance for Senator Tenney to win, because the Republican Party never thought they were going to beat Saud anyhow. But Senator Tenney had vision that it could be done. And every one of the Jew propaganda sheets have been attacking Tenney. They attack him in the Times this today. They attacked him in Riverside with six copies from a sheet that used the propaganda lies of the Anti-Defamation League right out of their own book. All right, now, you say, what Senator Tenney wants? He needs stamps. You say, why? Because there's thousands of people he's trying to alert. All the propaganda material they've hurled against him requires one honest answer. In fact, all of the signs, all of the program has been supported by Jack out of his own pocket. And I know tonight that he needs stamps. You know, a dollar's worth of stamps, or stamps that you might send him in the mail. You wouldn't miss those stamps, but those stamps would help him reach a great number of people. And if the Christians who love America, who know that the reason why the Jews are gunning for Jack Tenney is because when he was chairman of your American Activities Committee, he exposed the heart and soul of communism and who was behind it and who was trying to stop all anti-communist legislation. A victory in the 38th district of Jack Tenney is a victory for every Christian in the state of California. You say, how would I get those stamps to Jack Tenney? All right, you just put them in an envelope in the mail and address them to Senator Jack B. Tenney or to Jack Tenney in Banning, California. They'll reach him. Now we point this out. This is just another one of those situations. The same enemy is gunning for Colonel Gale, and they're gunning for every other true patriot everywhere in the nation. But this is your particular interest because he's a member of this congregation and a friend of everybody in this group. So we call this to your attention. These are the hours when we need assistance, we need help, we need voices and testimony, and we need substantial support. Shall we stand? Almighty and Eternal Father, we invoke the unction of thy Holy Spirit to rest upon these thy children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.